am so looking forward to the weekend. It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. It's gorgeous outside. The weekend's supposed to be up into the 80s. We're going to be at Rancho San Rafael Park, and we're going to be rallying with signs and flags and all kinds of super spirit. And then we're going to get in our cars and we're going to drive down Virginia Street and we're just going to honk and make all kinds of noise and make a ruckus. And, you know, maybe somebody will hear us. But it's not a protest. It is a rally to let your voice be heard. Yes, you're being rebellious, getting out of your houses, but you know what? It's BS with what we're going through right now, because every single thing that is put out there is a mixed message. It was just a joke that, you know, something I played yesterday from YouTube, and I got such a great response from it, but it's true. Stay at home unless you have to go out. These people can work. These people can go do your grocery shopping, but they don't want you to do it. Every single thing they say goes back on itself. The hypocrisy of what's going on right now is crazy. Who decides what an essential business and what a non-essential business is? Go out and exercise. Take a walk. But you can't play golf. You can't shoot hoops. It's just mind-boggling how stupid the government thinks you really are and how complacent the government thinks you will continue to be. It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk, but I can't be the only one talking. So thank you for all the calls and thank you for all the comments and, of course, the emails at monica@991fmtalk.com and your votes. 991fmtalk.com. Answer today's poll question. We got it fixed. It's easy. Which card do you think is more important? A voter ID card? A COVID-19 card? Or an NRA or GOA card? And it's not quite as known as NRA, but it's just as important. GOA is Gun Owners of America. Go in. Answer the poll. A lot of votes already, and I love your enthusiasm. But it is time for somebody other than me to speak the truth. And if you haven't checked out Muth's Truths, then you really are missing out, and you need to get signed up for his email. Joining us right now is Chuck Muth, and he's got a lot of things to say. Chuck, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Monica, I can't tell you what a pleasure it was to hear that introduction and hear you say the same things that I've been saying for weeks now about the utter hypocrisy of these ridiculous contradictory rulings and orders from our governor. I mean, it has made absolutely no sense whatsoever, and it was so good to hear you say it also. You just made my day.
Well, thank you, because nobody can shut me up, that's for sure. And I know it's my own opinion, but more and more people are realizing, Chuck, that our opinions not only matter, but our opinions are calling out the hypocrisy of our elected representatives, whether they be Republican or Democrats. And I have to tell you, I've been real disappointed with the Republican legislators and what they're not doing. You know, in Wisconsin, the Republican legislators there are suing the government because of this shutdown. Where are our voices?
Yeah, I mean, I can understand why Democrats are sucking it up and not saying anything against their fellow Democrat who is the governor. But you're right. Where are the Republicans? And this is a problem we've had in this state for many, many years, probably a couple of decades at least, is that the Republicans have got in their minds that they are the minority party rather than the opposition party. And so they always fight from a defensive position and a position of weakness, and they don't understand how important it is to articulate their positions and get public opinion behind them. And so far, I've yet to hear a single Republican legislator in this state call for a special session and say, hey, Governor, it's time for you to, you know, let us in on the game here. We should have a voice, and they should be put on record. I mean, you know, let's get them to vote. Let's find out who's with the people and who's with the governor and get them on record.
Well, Chuck, I think one of the biggest problems I've had is every single elected representative when it comes to a Republican, except for in Elko, John Ellison, Senator Ellison, say that, you know, oh, yeah, recall Sisolak, but will not sign the petition, badmouth it, saying it's not going to work. It's that, you know, and they don't want to sign it because they have to work with the governor. They have to work with Democrats. It's like, really? Why do you have to work with Democrats? Aren't you supposed to be working for me, the person who elected you?
Yeah, and you're absolutely, and it's not, I mean, it is just John Ellison out there. He is a lone voice speaking out strongly here, but there are other Republicans in extremely safe districts that they have absolutely no risk of not getting reelected whatsoever. But the problem with the recall situation and why it's been very difficult to get people to support it is because of the rules that the legislature have established. You know, Monica, if you want to put an initiative on the ballot, you need to get 10% of registered voters to sign the petition. But to recall an official, you need 25%, and it has to be 25% of people who actually voted in the last election, not just registered voters. So they've made it almost impossible to recall anyone. So I understand the frustration that, you know, okay, maybe it's not going to go anywhere. But look, just the very idea of going forward with the recall and making a public stink about it is helpful. I think we've seen the governor move only incrementally, but the only reason he's moved incrementally is because on Easter Sunday, these rallies and caravans started, and they got stronger last weekend. And I suspect they're going to be even stronger today and tomorrow and this weekend.
I truly hope so, because we have to make it known that, okay, maybe you're not recalled, but you will not be serving another term. That is 100% definite. But Chuck, explain to me how, when the control is on either side, when Republicans have the votes, when Republicans are in control, they try to appease everybody. But when Democrats are in control, they just steamroll the other side and push through whatever they want.
Yeah, it's what their base wants, and that's something that Republicans forget. They forget to dance with the ones who brung them. When the Democrats are in charge, anything goes just about. I mean, whatever it is that their base of supporters, the ones who show up to vote, the ones who volunteer, the ones who contribute money, they take care of their base. Republicans completely forget their base once they get up there. And that was, I think a lot of people got a cold dose of reality in 2015 when Republicans finally had the governor's office and control of the state Senate and control of the state assembly. And what did they do? They passed the largest tax increase in Nevada history. That's not taking care of your base. That's not dancing with the ones that brung them. And not surprisingly, they ended up losing their majorities, and they ended up losing the governor's office because of that. Because if you're going to turn your nose to your base, guess what? The base is going to return the favor.
Well, and it really has me surprised that P.K. O'Neill is still saying that he supported that move and he supported that vote, and now he's back running for office again. Does he think that we have short memories?
Yeah, we got rid of all 13 of the Republican assemblymen who voted for that tax hike. And after we finally got rid of the last one, now one is coming back now. And I am so just apoplectic about how this happened. Al Kramer, the assemblyman for that district, got in because he ran against PK for voting for the tax hike. And then, surprisingly, at the very last day of filing Assemblyman Kramer announces that he's not running, and minutes later, P.K. O'Neill announces that he is. You're not going to convince me that this wasn't coordinated and it wasn't planned and it was a complete sellout to the conservatives who got Mr. Kramer elected in the first place. I just think it was disgusting politics at its worst.
Yeah, and it is just going to get worse. I talk to certain Republicans out there that tell me that they're being bullied by more established Republicans. And I just don't understand what it is about when someone is elected, how they lose their backbone.
I'm not sure that they ever had one because they weren't really pressed. They are very good at mouthing the words, saying what people want to hear on the campaign trail, and then they go to Carson City and do the exact opposite. And the problem is, if you don't hold them accountable, if you don't vote them out of office, they're just going to keep on doing it. And that's why, Monica, it's so important for Republicans not to forget the general election, but these primaries are critically important to challenge some of these establishment Republicans and the ones who don't have a ones who belong to get along.
Oh, sounds like we may have lost Chuck. So we're going to take a quick break here and see if we can reestablish our connection. We'll be back with more on the Monica Jay Show, your show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. So glad you're with us today. And we have a special guest joining us right now. It's Chuck Muth. And Chuck, boy, you couldn't have gotten a better name for your email that you send out, Muth's Truths, because you really are speaking the truth. And boy, do you get in trouble for it.
Quite often, obviously, it's not a surprise that Democrats and liberals don't like what I say, but these moderate Republicans and what are often referred to as rhinos, Republicans in name only, they don't like what I have to say either because I go after both sides. I'm not partisan in that regard.
Yeah, because we have to call out the rhinos or we end up with, you know, a governor like Brian Sandoval that didn't do us any good. What do you think about the governor's actions right now, Governor Sisolak's actions, when it comes to the COVID-19 shutdown? How do you think he's been handling it?
He's been handling it horribly. As you and I, we talked about at the very beginning of this talk here, it's been so contradictory. How can you say that you have to close down schools, but it's okay to keep open child care centers? How can you shut down department stores but allow grocery stores to remain open? I mean, it's just been one thing after another that is completely contradictory, where he said in his original emergency declaration that every social contact risks an infection and yet allows construction for the Raiders Stadium to continue to go on and other construction projects. I mean, it just makes absolutely no sense. Either shut everybody down or let everybody open, provided that they follow the same type of social distancing guidelines and sanitizing that the grocery stores are doing. Why can't Office Depot or Best Buy open under the same conditions that Smith's or Vons or Albertsons opens under?
Well, and that's another thing that I don't understand, Chuck, is the fact that, you know, the commercials and the promos that they're showing right now of everything being wiped down. I have never in my life seen these things wiped down before. You know, you go to the doctor and that's, supposedly a disinfected area. But when you get up out of your chair, somebody doesn't come out and wipe it down. When you're at the grocery store, somebody doesn't wipe down the conveyor belt between each person. They don't wipe down where you're swiping your card and you've had your nasty purse sitting up there. And they never before wiped down the shopping carts. But now this is the new reality.
Yeah, and a lot of it is media-driven hysteria from the left, who's constant. I mean, they're like the Grim Reaper every day. They can't wait to give you the latest statistics on the number of infections and the number of deaths, which have all been way under, by the way, the models that were projected. Of course, the governor is taking credit for it and saying it's because of the lockdown that he's instituted. I don't believe that for a second. I think that the people initially did not realize how contagious this was, but once they did, they started practicing social distancing and whatnot on their own. You did not have to shut the entire economy down in order to address this situation and flatten the curve, but that's exactly what the governor has done, and now he's resisting reopening. Even common sense things. There was something that I was very happy to see yesterday. While all the other movie theaters are still closed, the drive-in movie theater here in Las Vegas reopened last night, which at the very least, that makes sense. You're sitting in your car watching a movie, listening to it on the radio. Why was that ever shut down in the first place? So I think it's time to start looking at a lot more of those examples, including restaurants. Maybe you have to space the tables out a little bit more than what you did before. But look, even having a restaurant with 25% of what you had before is better than nothing.
That's true. And I don't know anybody who doesn't go into a restaurant and want to be seated away from people anyway. Just, you know, that's the norm for some of us. Somebody called in and asked if Maurice wants to know if Chuck is still registered as a Democrat. Are you registered as a Democrat?
Question. You know, I did register as a Democrat to demonstrate the stupidity of same-day registration and the Democrat presidential caucus back in February. They allowed me to go in, register as a Democrat. I voted for Bernie Sanders because I thought that would be the best way. A Trump-Sanders showdown would have been a great civics lesson in the fall to demonstrate to people the differences between capitalism and socialism. But no, let Maurice know, after I voted in that presidential primary, I switch back. I'm a Republican again.
Okay. Well, we've only got 3 minutes left, and I want you to answer this question, and that is mail-in ballot, yes or no?
Absolutely not. It is ridiculous that we think that you can do a mail-in election and not have fraud involved in it, and that's why I'm actually very supportive of the federal lawsuit that was filed this week to block the mail-in election, and every conservative and Republican should be opposed to this. I know the Secretary of State's a registered Republican. I'm not sure why she went along with this, but it is a horrible, horrible idea. They're saying it's only for the primary, but boy, Monica, once you open up that door, there's just no putting the genie back in the bottle. I hope the lawsuit is successful. I hope it's blocked. There's no reason for us not to run our elections the way we've always. If someone wishes, if they're afraid to vote in person, they can request an absentee ballot. But to force everybody to do a mail-in ballot, no, that's just plain wrong.
And I wish we could go back and change reality when it comes to same-day registration. That's just ridiculous, and again, pushed by the Democrats.
Yeah, there's everybody knows when the elections are going to occur. They occur every 2 years. We all know it. And if you can't register to vote 30 days before the election day so that we can, one, verify that you're a voter, but two, for the candidates. Candidates, they have a limited amount of money. They need to know who to contact to try to persuade them to vote for them. You don't know who to contact if you're allowed to vote, register and vote on election day. So voters are voting without the information they really need in order to cast an informed ballot. So yeah, it's a horrible thing, but it's like you said earlier, Monica, when Democrats are in charge, they pass all the things that their base wants, and that's one of the biggies that their base wanted.
All right, we got 1 minute left, so I'm going to squeeze one more question in here. Why is it okay and not racist to have a COVID-19 card, but it's racist to ask for a voter ID card?
It's insane, and it's part of the left's narrative. They always want to paint conservatives as being racist, and any opportunity they can get, they will get it. And I don't know. I have not voted in your poll yet, but I think I'm going to go with your NRA card is probably the most important card to have in your wallet.
I love that. And I think we'll see a lot of those on Saturday. Chuck, how can people sign up for your email, Muth Truths?
You know, they can get the Muth Truths newsletter. Just go to NevadaNewsAndViews.com, and there's a subscription box on NevadaNewsAndViews.com, and they can get on it. It's free. Comes out, not regularly, but during this this crisis, I've been doing a lot more writing than I have in the past.
Yeah, you have. I'm getting one just about every day. But let me tell you, I appreciate them so much because it shows I'm not alone in this fight of getting the truth out. So, Chuck Muth, thank you so much for joining us today. You're welcome on the show anytime. So, you know, you've got our numbers. We've got your numbers. Anytime you want to call in, there's always time for Chuck Muth.
Well, it was great talking to you finally, Monica. All the best. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. And get out to a rally. Get out and let your voice be heard. We're going to get some good news. I just had Kendra Kolineski. She just texted me a little something on something they're doing new for waste management. Starting to get things going back. I'm going to read you her text that she just sent me after we come back from this Fox News update on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Get more Monica in your life. Go to 99.1fmtalk.com. Click on the podcast tab.
It's the Monica J Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. So glad you're with me. Wow. What a day. Great interviews with Eddie Lorton and Chuck Muth and calls from you. Going to try and get Barney Wadley on the line so we can talk about Saturday, what people can expect. And, you know, it's just crazy what's going on right now. But you have to take the time to stop and separate the crazy. You have to separate it out for yourself because the media is not doing you any good. And, well, that pretty much sucks because we should be able to have a media that informs you of the facts, not of swayed opinions because of who owns the station, because of the corporations and the companies that set down the rules. Like knowing about Jeffrey Epstein. But when people are saying, oh, Pizzagate's a hoax and all this, and then it turns out to be true, and your reporters come out and say, I had that 3 years ago, and they stifled it. You know, that goes on here in Reno just as much as it does on the national stage. Let's go to the phone line. Speaking of stages, we're going to be out tomorrow staging our rally. Let's check in with Carlos this morning. Carlos has a suggestion for tomorrow. Hi, Carlos.
Hey, Monica. How you doing? Just give me a second. Let me get off my speaker.
Okay. Yeah. I'm doing fabulous. Okay,
so, fantastic. So here's my suggestion. I've been involved in actions and movements, California, New York, D.C., national actions. And I've been on both sides. I used to be a crazy liberal.
But, oh, jeez.
But every movement I've seen, no matter where you lie politically, this applies to you or Antifa. I've seen them all fail for the same exact reason. Sorry, I was climbing up and down ladders.
Gotta come back. That's okay.
So here's the problem. Here's three words. Declarations, not demands. Okay, if our forefathers had written the demand for independence, we'd all be under British rule right now. Okay, keep in mind, there's nothing in the Declaration of Independence that required any input or action from King George. So in a practical term for your movement, it would be the difference if you went there, even as simple as a sign. It's the difference between a sign that says, Governor, let me reopen, and I'm not closing. Okay? See mm-hmm. the difference? Mm-hmm. Governor, let me reopen is a demand. When you make a demand of someone who's exerting power over you, You give them a choice and you empower them and remove your options. Mm-hmm. We don't ask our elected officials what to do. We tell them. So we're beyond the demand point anyway. When you're taking an action, you're at the declaration point. So you don't go, let me open. You say, I'm staying open. Come do something about it.
Carlos,
and
thank you so much for that.
You,
because
that
even Bill Barr, even the attorney general, is saying that these business closures, these stay-at-home orders, are going against the Constitution and your rights. And there's going to be a lot of lawsuits and some big issues going on. So, Carlos, thank you so much for that definition there of what we need to do and how we need to define this. Barney's joining us on the line right now, speaking of tomorrow. Barney Wadley, thank you so much. Secretary, when it comes to the big picture of fightfornevada.com, and what can we expect? I mean, what is the organization putting together as we meet at 11 o'clock at Rancho San Rafael Park tomorrow? And, well, Carson City, all across the state, Elko, also Las Vegas. But for here in Reno, what are we doing?
Well, tomorrow we're meeting at, there's going to be a march, and it's on our little flyer. But anyway, we're going to meet. We're going to have a march, and then we're all going to meet at 11 o'clock at Rancho San Rafael Park, and we're going to have a rally there with, of course, you as a guest speaker. And then we're going to.
Yeah, I know. I'm bringing my own sound system.
And we're going to have tables there with petitions on them. And for all of your listening audience, this is going to be your big chance in Reno to come out, support Fight for Nevada, sign the recall petition to recall this corrupt governor, and help us get the state back on track again.
And never let it happen again. Because if we prove, Barney, that we can accomplish this, I think a lot more elected representatives will understand that people are serious now. They're tired of this back and forth between do-nothing Democrats and rhino Republicans that just fall into line. This is our state, it's our livelihood, and it's our voice.
That's right, and we need to take it back. We need to take Nevada back and put it back on track again to be a highly successful state like what it was.
What it was when Democrats weren't running the show in the two largest counties and in the state government.
That's exactly right. So please, everybody, come out, support Fight for Nevada and the Recall Governor Sisolak effort. Come out, join us. And if you have not signed the petition, please do so. This is very important for not only Fight for Nevada, but it is important for Nevada to take back our state.
Okay, Barney, we do need to get some clarification, because I also heard you as we were talking. We're actually going to meet at 11 at Rancho San Rafael Park, have our rally, have our start, and then we're going to go march. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Sorry, you kind of said we're going to march and then we're going to have the rally. So I had to set it straight there for you. But
yeah, I'm a little bit dyslexic today.
With all that you and the entire group has been doing, trying to get these signatures, and again, you know, only at 15,000 signatures. Yes, we've collected more, but we need, what is it, 248,000?
243,950.
And again, as Chuck Muth was saying earlier in the show, that is because of a change that the Nevada legislature, the Democrat-held-controlled Democrat legislature, made.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure they did that so it wouldn't happen.
Right. And, you know, like I've been telling your listening audience, they have changed the recall process on us, and we have managed to get around that. So now we're down to the last 16 days or so of our recall. And granted, this stay-at-home order by the governor has hampered us. We, with his policies the other night on TV, have just infuriated everybody. And we're on fire again. We're collecting, all of our spots are collecting anywhere from 25 to 125 signatures per session. So we are going gangbusters. Tomorrow we're having rallies in Reno, Carson City, and Las Vegas. So, and also in Elko. So, go out, attend these, and let's have a good time and sign some petitions.
Make your signs. Say, hey, we're opening back up with or without you, Governor Sisolak, because it is our right. You're stealing our livelihood in the name of fear. So, Barney, thank you so much. I will see you bright and early tomorrow morning. And I appreciate you and everything that the entire team of FightForNevada.com is doing. So I'll see you tomorrow, Barney.
Thank you.
Let's go back to the phone lines and check in with Vance this morning. Hi, Vance. You want to talk about technology?
Well, yeah. I had the same initial misunderstanding with what Barney wanted, but you clarified that. You caught it good. Yeah, the technology thing, and this is something that's been chapping my hide for dang near 40 years, is how one segment of society always turns technology against its own, always misuses technology. And this has been going on since the beginning of time. And science fiction writers, Robert A. Heinlein, Ray Bradbury, for instance, have penned story after story after story of how technology is turned against regular people instead of the hardcore career criminal element. And the legislators, the rulers themselves become criminals, at which point, you know, we have to rebel and so on, so on down down the line of history. But I refuse to use that, my knowledge of that technology, against my own neighbors.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what your elected representatives are asking you to do. I mean, Blasio set up a whole, you know, phone line for texting to, hey, text the pictures of your neighbors, not social distancing, not, you know, going with the stay-at-home order. You can't do that.
And the other part of it is in the form of, who is it? George Orwell at Animal Farm, all right, portrayed Napoleon's, the law enforcers, as dogs. Well, what's one of the in real life, one of the characteristics of dogs? And I asked a canine handler, retired canine handler from Oakland, this about 5 or 6 years ago when we crossed paths, and he was the only one that got it right the first time. He says they're blindly obedient. They don't care about age, they don't care about gender, they don't care about a person's status in any way, shape, or form. Okay? They will obey their master blindly. He told me they will rip up an infant, a dog trained to attack. If you tell it to attack, will not hesitate to rip up an infant as well as an adult.
Yeah.
And the cops are willing participants in this. Not all. And the idea of I'm only obeying orders, I'm only doing what I told, that went out the window at the Nuremberg trials.
Yeah. Well, people might remember how technology has changed. It used to be a tattoo on your arm. Now they just want you to have a chip. So, Vance,
and I worked for one person who had a tattoo on his arm many years ago when I worked for a rental car company. My supervisor had spent, as a teenager, was a prisoner in one of those concentration camps.
Yeah, it's happening all over again. So, Vance, thank you so much. I hope I see you tomorrow. And we're going to take a quick break as I wrap up the show after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Sorry, Kurt, you weren't able to get onto the show, but I've got a couple of quick emails I have to go through. And I promised Kendra Costalecki's text, and I didn't get to it. So let's do that right now. Hey, Monica. This is talking about waste management. If you didn't know, she is the PIO. Actually, she's further up now than that. Hey, Monica, have an update for you. Regular public drop-off hours at the transfer station in Fernley will resume starting Tuesday, April 28th. Additional PPE and social distancing protocols have been implemented for the safety of the public and waste management employees. These protocols include a temporary halt to cash transactions, so bring your credit cards or your checks. Extra precautions may lead to longer than usual wait times, and your patience is greatly appreciated. Customers with curbside service may drop off up to 6 standard-sized trash bags a week or of waste per week at no additional charge, while waste management drivers continue to remain in their trucks and focused on containerized waste collection. Okay? Please bring a copy of your waste management statement or an ID matching the address on the account to use this free service option. Additional waste disposal will be charged at regular fees. All right. So there you have that for the transfer station. And I just found this very interesting. And to clarify a few things, Chief Soto and I are friends on Facebook. So we always have a way to contact each other, but I just received this from the chief. Hello, Monica. I hope your week is going well. You know that I enjoy your talk show and I appreciate those who bring information into our community. I just wanted to clear the air regarding a comment on your show about double dipping. I am not, or nor do I have any desire to do that, to double dip. One would have to retire, collect his or her PERS compensation, and then receive a salary in addition to that. I accepted the acting city manager role in an acting capacity, meaning I still work for my one and only salary. I do not have any intention on retiring to achieve an additional salary. We both love our city, and I just wanted to make you aware that I am not retiring. I'm not collecting two salaries and will only be paid for my acting role until such time a replacement is found. In doing so, the city of Reno is saving an entire salary as I wear two hats of sort. I hope you are doing well. And again, thank you for bringing information to our citizens. Respectfully, Jason. So there you have it. Straight from Jason Soto. He's not going to be collecting two salaries. He's not going to be double dipping. He's just going to be acting, not interim. As we were talking earlier about, interim usually means going on to do that. So I've invited Jason on the air. Everybody is welcome on this show. Whether you have the same opinion as me or not, we have different views. That's how we make this a better community, by getting the truth out, by asking questions, by holding people accountable, and by getting the answers that you deserve. But your voice has to be heard. So come out, join us at these rallies, and let Sisolak know that we are not going to continue to be a socialist, communist state and country. I've told you all along, we've let it get this far. What you can do, when you can do it, where you can do it. So many liberties and freedoms have just been thrown away because people don't understand what the Constitution of the United States gives us, what our Bill of Rights gives us. For the first, 25 people, I've got 25 copies that come out tomorrow and ask, I've got a copy of the Constitution for you. Know it. Read it. Keep it with you. And underline the things that you see, the atrocities you see, the tyranny you see and hear going on right now. And understand that the media has an agenda. They have an agenda of telling you what they want you to know. I have an agenda of telling you what you need to know and how you can fight back. And you can do that Saturday, Rancho San Rafael Park, 11 o'clock. Whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, have a job, don't have a job, I want to see you there. I love you. I feel for your situation. I hope you have a blessed weekend. And we're all there for each other. Have a great day. Mwah.